From Lena Versi Athletics, this is the Burn 'Em Up podcast. Burn 'Em Up is brought to you by McDonald's. And now let's join your host, Carmen Lastoria and Philip Tang.
And we're back with another episode of the Burn 'Em Up podcast. First one of 2023. Philip Tang, Carmen Lastoria here with you as always, brought to you by McDonald's. And Carmen, we're ready to rock and roll. Classes have started in 2023 and it's full steam ahead until the end of May.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it, three or four weeks ago when we did our last podcast. Time flies, you know. We had a great, hope you had a great holiday. All of our listeners had a great holiday. And, yeah, we're ready to go. Basketball's in full swing. We'll touch on that here in a little bit. And spring sports are getting ready to roll. And we'll focus on that today with our special guests. So, yeah, it's an exciting time. I love the new year. You know, it's an opportunity to reset, set some goals, and January is that opportunity to kind of get some things in place for the rest of the year. So, yeah, an exciting time for Lee Athletics.
Yeah, January's a little more laid back for us, and then February kicks in, and it's
right.
Nonstop. We have a lot of stuff at home, especially in February, including a lot of baseball. There's a lot of home baseball games. As Jack and I were talking before, Jack Nedro, our guest this week, everything was on the road last year, Jack. This year we're turning around and everything's at home in February. It's got to be a lot more relieving not to travel so much.
Yes, sir. There's a lot more at home this year. We traveled a lot last year, obviously, like he said. So it's a little exciting that we get to chill a little bit this year, have a lot at home, and hopefully host a regional this year.
Well, before we look to this year, Jack, let's take a trip down memory lane, because it was a bit of a roller coaster, kind of incredible 2022 season, right? And so you guys have some high expectations after 2021, did very well in the COVID shortened year and got to a region. And then you come into 2022 and boy, things didn't start out right for you guys. And man, it's a tribute to you how it ended up, you know, being able to overcome that adversity. But just take us through, you know, kind of that roller coaster ride, and maybe when was the moment you thought it kind of clicked for you guys?
So I think at the beginning of the year, we had a lot of new pitchers. So we were also trying to figure out where everybody fell in the rotation, who worked best in what positions. And so it was a lot of just figuring things out. And I think we were 12-17 at one point.
Right.
And then we go out there, we lose the first two games to Alabama Huntsville. And then the third game, we win 10-0. And I think the week after that is when we play Tampa. And we take two games from Tampa and win the series, the number one team in the country. And I think from there, we just got on a roll and turned the season around.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because obviously people will look at the Tampa series and say, okay, that's probably when it clicked, but it was probably the week before, you know, and maybe building to that point. Take us through your experience so far as a collegiate pitcher. How is, because you've been asked to carry a pretty big load right from the get-go as a freshman, and now you're taking on more of a leadership role. So take us through that dynamic about how, you know, you come in as a freshman, you're asked to perform right away, and now you can kind of take on maybe more of a leadership role with this team.
When you come in, you want to play right away, and that was a big reason why I came here, is because I knew I'd have an opportunity to play right away. So I came in with that expectation, and I came in, played through a lot last year, and I'm really looking forward to throwing more this year and just being not a veteran, but like have some experience under my belt, and looking forward to this year.
You talked about a lot of new pitchers last year and trying to figure out kind of who fit where. What was kind of the process for you guys and your coaching staff saying, how does this going to work? What was that process for you guys trying to figure out who goes where?
So last year, all three starters were new. It was Miguel Alba, who was a transfer from FIU, me, who's a freshman, and then Sam Fulton started off the year, who's transferred from Chat State, and he was a starter. And we learned after Sam's first start that he would be a lot better out of the bullpen, and he came out, and he was one of the best arms, probably definitely in the conference, maybe in the whole nation, out of the bullpen, and he was dominant. So we learned that real quick, that we could put Cam Land in that starting role, and he could be dominant as well, and then have Sam come out of the bullpen and shut it down.
It's hard when that 6'10 guy comes out of the bullpen and just throws the heat.
Yeah, when he's such a nice guy, right? I mean, he's such a nice guy, but boy, he is an intimidating presence on the mound. You know, Jack, we were talking off air about you have a family connection. So Ben Holland, who was a Hall of Famer, was inducted into the Lee Athletic Hall of Fame in 2021, was really such an impactful player for the Lee baseball team, because he was a part of that team there in 2016 that was the first, you know, he was GSC Player of the Year in our first year of official eligibility, and so he kind of set the stage and what a special year that was. So how important was his experience to you coming, wanting to come to Lee as well?
When I was a little kid, I was in middle school when my cousin was here, and so I would come to games on the weekends. Every game I could catch a Benz, I was here with my Aunt Tammy, his mom, and so I was just a little kid running around before Larry Carpenter Stadium was built.
Right.
So we just had the little bleachers, and I was out in the bleachers. It was still really nice, but not nearly as nice as it is now.
No, you can, you don't have to listen, Jack. You don't have to lie. I've spent many a games up in that crow's nest of a press box we used to have. It's much nicer now.
It was nice to middle school Jack.
Sure,
middle school Jack thought it was pretty nice.
And it's ironic, Tang, when he says middle school. You know, like just a young little kid. To me, Ben played like 2 years ago. I've lost complete track of time. I've been here so long. So that makes me feel a little bit old, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely easy to, especially when you see so many teams and you know guys for 3, 4, sometimes 5 years. It kind of all runs together easily.
Right. So when we look at the GSC, obviously you guys are returning GSC champions. So you kind of got that bullseye on your back a little bit. So what are some things that you guys are hoping to do this year in order to maybe get off to a better start than you did last year?
Last year, we also kind of had that bullseye on our back, and no one really – and we had lost a lot, so I don't know if everybody really expected as much from us as we ended up doing. So this year, people are actually expecting it, and I think that we're going to go out there and we're going to deliver, and we're going to do what everybody expects out of us.
So take me through you know, each sport kind of has its different rivalries that are built in. You know, one of the things that in coming to the GSC, obviously we kind of had to – you know, start up some rivalries when we were, you know, way back in the day when we were NAIA, you played the same teams and you were able to develop rivalries. And so certainly now we have started to see those GSC rivalries develop. So who's a team that you just love to beat? Like what in your mind is the Lee baseball team's biggest rival?
Last year, beating West Florida was a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
Sweeping West Florida was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun for me too. You know, I'm not we have friends and colleagues at West Florida. I think they do a nice job. But I love beating West Florida, I would say.
I would agree. Definitely like Brian Henry, their SID, good friend of him. But always want to beat West Florida in every sport.
Other than West Florida, is there anybody else that is just like, you know, a team you kind of circle the calendar a little bit? Obviously, you want to win all your conference games, but maybe get up a little bit higher for some more than others.
I think Shorter was a good sweep last year, too, that we were all looking forward to. Because they had beat us the year before I got here.
Yeah.
And I know we were looking to rebound on that one.
Yeah, and Shorter, you know, by and large, have had some struggles across the board. But in baseball, they've been very good over the last couple of years. And that is an old rivalry, right? Yes. That dates back to the NIAA days.
Looking at this year now, you brought in a lot of new pitchers as well. Talk us through who some of the new guys have kind of stepped up in fall ball. And now, as you're rolling into the spring practices, who are some of the newer guys that have come maybe a transfer or a freshman?
So we have David White, flamethrower from Georgia State.
All right.
Yeah.
Georgia State. And he's looking to be good in whatever role he's placed in. Might be closer, who knows. But he's going to come out of the bullpen throwing gas, blowing it by people. Looking forward to that.
I love it. You know, I love, not to interrupt you, Jack, but I love relievers that come in and just throw the heat, man. I mean, there's just, that's what a reliever should be.
He's how fast he can throw it yet? Do you guys know?
I'm really not sure right now. Be low to mid 90s, hopefully.
Okay,
so, all right, we'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah,
high eights, low 90s. We'll see, but he's got more. He's huge, lifts all of the weight in the weight room you can.
Yeah,
broke the record for the lead deadlift this year.
All right,
he'll be out of there throwing gas. And then, Keegan Gagliardo came out from Illinois State, and he's lefty, has 4-3 good pitches, locates really well, still throws mid to high 80s, and he'll be looking, I don't know what role it will be in, we don't know yet, but he'll be looking to be a good arm for us.
Absolutely. I see you've got, for those of you who are listening to the podcast, obviously you can't see, but I see you've got a Tom Brady sweatshirt on, so are you taking Brady and the Bucks this weekend and wild card weekend? Are you a Tom Brady fan?
He's never lost to the Cowboys. That's all I have to say. Never lost.
I think that's going to be one of the more entertaining wild card weekend games because, you know, obviously the Cowboys as a whole defensively really good, but they have struggled a little bit here in the last few weeks down the stretch. And then you've got Tampa Bay that's seeming to maybe right the ship, and you never count out Brady in the postseason. So.
You cannot.
Never count Tom Brady out, no matter what.
I have a respect for – I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a diehard fan, but I have a great deal of respect for I saw something on Twitter the other day where he has literally won the Super Bowl every other year over the last like 6 years. It's just, that's incredible. Like, it's just, we will never see that again when he does.
Spent more time in his life in the NFL than he has out of it.
Exactly. Right. Just unbelievable longevity. Jack, take us through the haircut philosophy here, because when you came in, you had a little bit of a flow out the back of the hat, but now you're clean cut. It looks good. So what was the just trying something new?
Well, we're not supposed to have super long hair with Coach Brew, so I always just get it cut during the breaks, let it grow out throughout the season or throughout the fall, and then just get it cut again during the breaks.
There you
that
go.
Way it doesn't get too long.
Yeah, no, that's a good philosophy. Delta State had that same philosophy.
Right. It's kind of a New York Yankee type approach. Mm-hmm. You know, the Yankees have always had their kind of no facial hair or limited facial hair and hair off the shoulders. But I don't know, something about Jack, you know, bringing the heat and kind of the wave coming out of the back of the hat.
Well, maybe by next May or so, it'll –
Maybe by postseason play, it'll be ready?
I love the flow, too.
You're not going to touch it, right?
I'm not going to mess with it. My mom isn't the biggest fan of the long hair, so she was kind of the main reason I got it cut.
It cleans up well, though. You look good, Jack.
Thank you.
Well, we're excited. We can't wait for February 4th and 5th, that opening weekend. Hillsdale coming out of Michigan. It's probably cold here, but it's not as cold as what it's going to be in Michigan. That's for sure.
No, it's crazy to think that somebody's coming down here to play in the warm weather.
Right.
down here to us. Yeah, but it really is a lot warmer here than it will be up there.
Yeah, I mean, even, who knows, you know, February is interesting this time down in southeast Tennessee. I mean, it could be 65, it could be 45.
You have no idea what you're going to get here.
Well, Jack, as Tank said, we appreciate it, man. An incredible freshman year, a big part of the success of the Elite Baseball team, and we know as you're getting fully healthy now, I know you're ready to roll into the new season, and we're ready to watch, man. So best of luck.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a quick timeout to hear from our sponsor, McDonald's.
The Burn 'Em Up Podcast is proudly brought to you by Smith Family McDonald's. Smith Family McDonald's is a proud supporter of Lee University Athletics. They have 10 locations to serve you: Sweetwater, Athens, Etowah, Occoy, and 4 locations right here in Cleveland on I-75 exit 20, 25, and 27. Madisonville and Ootowah locations as well. Smith Family McDonald's. Go Flames!
Welcome back to the Burn 'Em Up Podcast. Philip Tang, Carmen Lastoria here with you. Classes underway, first week of classes here. And Carmen, you got to speak at Chapel on Thursday, the day we're recording this. Nice chance to speak early on in the semester.
Yeah, it was a great honor. It's always an honor when I get the opportunity to do that, to speak into the lives of our students. And so it was a great crowd, had a good morning, talked about persevering and overcoming failure, because I think, you know, as we go into the new year, you know, failure will be inevitable, and how we respond to that with God's grace and strength will make a huge difference in our lives. And so, it was a great morning, and just always a very humbling opportunity to get to share in front of our students like that. And so something I really cherish and just appreciate the opportunity. So, yeah, good morning, and you know, good response, and it was a good crowd, and we battled through some weather when we were recording this, and you know, but that both venues for Chapel were packed, and so I joked with somebody, you know, I was speaking in Dixon Center, Dr. Kahn was speaking in Kahn Center, so it was kind of like Dr. Kahn was Georgia and I was TCU,
right,
you know, that type
right.
of thing. but Dr. Kahn, of course, is an incredible speaker, and so great start to the Chapel season for Lee.
We look at it now this weekend coming up. Indoor track season finally started. They thought they were going to do a couple in December, decided to wait, and now they're going to Birmingham to go to UAB's Invitational Indoor Track, and they've got a bunch of meets, and that little season goes quick.
It does. I mean, the middle of February, you and I will be down at the Crossplex in Birmingham for the GSC Indoor Championship, and that'll be in February 14th and 15th. So
right.
That's, you know, that's coming up. So you're right. It is rapid fire. I mean, they run pretty much every weekend. And then, you know, certainly should have a great shot of repeating as GSC champions on both sides. You know, obviously the men will be probably very another tight matchup with Huntsville and Mississippi College. And then we should have several athletes that will be able to compete and qualify for nationals. Celine Ritter is going to run. And so, you know, she wasn't able to run cross country because she used up her eligibility there, but she's got some track and field eligibility left. So I'm sure she's going to go out and try and win another national championship. So it's exciting to get it rolling. And, yeah, before you know it, you blink and it's over. And so we'll keep a close eye on our indoor track and field teams. And, you know, we'll be down there, as we mentioned, basically in a month to cover the GSC championship.
Right. So, yesterday I ran over to the RCC to get a couple things out of the press box, and that place was packed. Every student-athlete for track and field was working. It was a great day yesterday for outdoor work, maybe a little worse today, but
yeah,
every station was someone was working on something. They were running, they were doing hurdles, you know, shot put, whatever. It was all going yesterday.
Yeah, and obviously a new assistant coach. Got a chance to talk with Lane Fletcher last week for a little bit, and I know he's excited to be at Lee. He was a really good athlete himself, an All-American at Shorter several years ago, and his wife was a fantastic runner. And so he is came over from North Greenville, also spent some time at Mississippi College and really helped build that program up. And I know he's excited. Sharnay Ryland, who was the longtime track and field associate head coach, went up to Michigan. We can't blame her.
Right.
You know, I'm an Ohio State fan as much as I dislike Michigan. That's a great opportunity for her. So she's
Power 5 D1 school.
Yeah, so she's an assistant coach up there now. We wish her the best of luck. And so I know Coach Morgan is excited to have Lane Fletcher and his wife on staff with us.
Oh, definitely so. And now this week we restart the GSC basketball. 12 more games in conference play. We've played everybody once, and now this week it starts all over again. It's a long grind this year.
It is, but you will have the undisputed GSC champion in the regular season because you will have played everybody you know, twice, as you mentioned. Women are 12-0 first time through. Now, you know, it will be difficult, I'm sure, to go 12-0 again through that stretch, but obviously playing really well on top of the GSC. Incredible win last week. I mean, we do have to touch on that. Haley Schubert, and I'm sure that might appear here in our fired up moment in a little bit. But Haley Schubert scores her 2,000 point on a game winner on a 12-0 run in overtime to top Union, one of the top rivals and, you know, top women's basketball programs in all of Division II. So what an incredible day that was. I know you were there on the call with George. And then Coach Bubba Smith got his 300th career victory last Thursday at Christian Brothers. So it's been a great start. Men are 10-3. The women are 12-0 in conference play. 15-2 overall?
14-2.
14-2 overall. And so, here we go again, though. You got to, you know, you're going to face these teams. West Florida, Valdosta State this week. Those are two tough games, two tough rivals on both the men's and women's side. So we're hoping for a great crowd. And it's going to be a fun finish. It's all jumbled up on the men's side.
Oh, I was going to say, so coming into this week, five teams tied for first place.
Right.
Sixth place with one game back.
Crazy, right? I mean, you're looking at – so the top four teams, obviously, you know, it's an eight-team conference tournament. So eight teams qualify for the conference tournament. Top four teams will host on Super Tuesday, which will be February 28th. So you're looking at a team that could theoretically, if it stays this close, a team could be one or two games out of first – and have to go on the road on Super Tuesday, much like men's soccer. You know, men's soccer, if you remember that last weekend, we ended up with the number two seed, but we could have, by virtue of just one loss in the final game, been anywhere down to seventh, from 7-2. And I think you're seeing that same thing play out on the men's basketball side. So you got to try and take care of business. Flame split. Tough road trip out in West Tennessee, so nothing wrong with the split. But you've certainly got to try and hold serve at home. Valdosta got us in that opening in our opening game of the season down there in the final seconds, and so we got a chance to maybe repay that. There are a bunch of teams playing really well, so there's not much separation, and you're going to have to play well each and every day out.
Yeah, this is my, I think, 11th season watching Gulf South Conference men's basketball, and this is the tightest, I think. Teams are tight. There's always three or four teams that are tight, but this is the most teams that are this close.
I think it's the most balanced, right? Yes. I mean, you know, traditionally, as you mentioned, you may have, you know, a little top-heavy. You may have a couple of teams fighting for the top spot, but just – definitely seems to be much more balanced, really on both sides, but particularly on the men's side. And so, every game is almost like a playoff game now. I mean, not to put too much pressure on it, but every win is important. And certainly it's tough to win on the road in the GSC, something that the men have done a pretty good job of so far this year. So you've got to hold serve at home and hope you can steal a few games on the road and you'll be in good shape. But you also have an eye on region rankings, right?
Right.
And so you also want to win because you know you want to put yourself in a position where, hey, it's tough to win a GSC conference tournament and get the automatic bid. So you'd like to put yourself in a position where you don't have to win the GSC tournament in order to get into
right,
the region.
Right, definitely. And the way things are stacking up, the Sunshine State and the SAC, they're kind of outside of Nova Southeastern on that men's side. They're all kind of beating each other up. So when those first region rankings come out in mid-February, it'll be really interesting to see where the NCAA committee puts them.
Yeah, and you'd like to be, you know, 5, 6, 7 range can kind of have you on the bubble. You'd like to be in those top four, you know, top 4 or 5, usually you're pretty safe. Obviously, the SIAC gets an automatic bid for their tournament mm-hmm. champion in each conference. Sunshine State and GSC will also get an automatic bid. So you got 5 at-large bids. But, boy, you don't want to be on the bubble. You know,
no.
You don't want to be in a position where maybe you have to make a deep run in the GSC tournament. But I think both of our teams are certainly positioned for that. I mean, obviously, I think through the first half of the season, if you were to tell Bubba Smith, hey, will you take 9-3 in conference? Yeah, I'll take
it. Yes, 100%.
Marty would obviously take 12-0, right? And so mission accomplished in the first half of the season, but now here it goes. This is going to be the grind where you get into it, to the thick of it, playing each team once again. So there's no surprises. Everybody knows what to expect, and you just got to go out there and execute.
As we talked about earlier, February starts everything. So in the next few weeks, we're going to hear from softball, lacrosse, both tennises, and track and field. So we're going to have plenty of opportunities to find different guests and new guests and preview each of those teams as we get ready to slide into the February season.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing about this podcast is, you don't lack for variety. I mean, we have 18 sports. We have plenty of, as you mentioned, plenty of student athletes that will be participating in spring sports. And so we'll get an opportunity to talk with a wide variety of our student athletes, which is great. I mean, that's just been it's been a really fun thing for us, I know for you and I, to do this podcast. And we've heard from so many of you, and we really appreciate it.
Yes,
I mean, your emails, your comments at games when you see us about how much you enjoy the podcast really means a lot, because we really do have a lot of fun getting to know our student athletes better and updating our fans. This is just a great platform to quickly update our fans mm-hmm. On what's going on in all of our various different sports.
And we learn stuff from athletes like you didn't know that Jack was related to Ben Holland.
I didn't. I probably should have known that, but I didn't know that. And, you know, I loved what he said about, he's just running around as a middle school student, just dreaming of, hey, I'd love to play here.
Right.
And now here he is doing it at a high level. That's pretty special. That's cool.
Before we head out for today, let's get our fired up moments of, I guess we can go back 3 or 4 weeks now
okay.
since we've been gone. So what was your fired up moment?
Well, one of us has to choose this. So,
right.
Okay, if I choose it, then you choose something else.
Okay.
Haley Schubert, 2,000 points. She is only the fifth player in the storied history of the Lee women's basketball program to reach the 2,000-point plateau. She's got a shot to put herself in really, really rarefied air as she continues the rest of this season, but fantastic player. I love what Coach Rose said. We were on the Mix 104.1 radio show a couple of days ago, and he said the best thing about Haley Schubert – it was actually in a conversation I had with him. I called him after the Union game.
Right, sure.
And he was tired, but he was excited, and so I gave him a call, and he said the best thing about Haley is that, yeah, the 2,000 point, that's fantastic. Her clutch shot at the end there, that's Haley Schubert, but it was her defense down the stretch that he was most impressed with. She's just a complete player. Never seems to get tired. Really smart player, always in the right position, always working hard. When your best player is your best leader, mm-hmm. you've got a chance to have a really special year. And so hats off to Haley Schubert.
My fired-up moment, we're going to go back a week or so, to Tim Vaughn's dunk.
Oh, yes.
Dunk against West Georgia. So Georgia and I sit up top, and the way it looked from our angle, he jumped up so high, he threw it in there like Blake Griffin did a couple games back in the day. It was a very special dunk for the freshman.
Yeah, and you can catch it on social media there. But, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. It was very much a Blake Griffin dunk, and it was just
he comes across the side, just goes up, and just throws it in there.
Sure athleticism. Listen, that's a player – that it's going to be fun to watch for years to come. He's just a freshman, but as he begins to develop more as a complete player, you know, he's got a lot of, and probably a little bit bigger just from a, you know, from a build standpoint, but he reminds me a lot of Ryan Montgomery.
Fantastic player for Lee
a few years ago, who's now an assistant with Cole Rose down in Palm Beach Atlantic. But Ryan was a player that when he was a freshman, you could tell he's an athletic guy. But as he developed, you know, developed a better shot, developed a little bit more skill set on the basketball court, he really became a phenomenal, one of the top players in the GSC. And I think Tim Vaughn's got that ability. Yeah. If he keeps working hard, he certainly has that ability. But you need somebody explosive to come off the bench and give you a lift, and he provides that.
Yeah, and he's getting valuable minutes and not expected to do all so much because we've got such great upperclassmen right now.
It's a great position for a freshman to be in, right, where you get an opportunity to get out there, you get an opportunity to give your team a lift, but you don't have the burden of having to be the primary scorer or anything like that. The Flames do a great job of sharing the basketball, and he's going to keep seeing more and more time on the court as he does things like that. That was pretty special.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Burn 'Em Up Podcast. We'll be back next week as we continue previewing some of the spring sports that are coming our way very, very shortly. Don't forget, this weekend, West Florida and Valdosta State are coming to Walk Arena. So I hope that all of you come out and catch those episodes. For Carmel Astoria, I'm Philip Tang. We'll catch you next week.